Turn in our Bibles to James, to the book of James. We're in a journey through James, as some of you realize, and we get to a wonderful passage. I couldn't wait to get up and share this with you. I sat through last week, enjoyed that, but I was chomping at the bit. Had my motor racing 90 miles an hour and my clutch in. Now I get to let it out today. So James, in chapter 1, we come to verse 16. There's a familiar saying among Christians, it's a true saying, God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. And I'm going to show you where that comes from in the Word of God today. Now, it's one thing to claim and to sing about the goodness of God when things are going good. When the choir, when the praise team was up there singing, I love to watch them sing because they're right in it. They're not singing to you, they're singing to the Lord, and you're participating with them, but their eyes are closed and they're thinking. But I'm looking at each one of them. I know what? They've gone through stuff in their life. They're not just froth. They're not just up there entertaining. They're singing from experience. It's one thing to praise God when things are going good, when things in your family are right, when you get promoted in your job, when finances are. It's another thing to talk about the goodness of God when things don't go right. You just watch the news and that tornado that went through some communities last week and tore up business sections and destroyed neighborhoods and families lost their homes and loved ones were killed. Where's the goodness of God in that? In your insurance policy, it says that it's excluded for an act of God. They blame that on God. There's a lot of people who blame bad things on God. I'm going to talk to you about that as we get to it, if I can contain myself. It's another thing to talk about the goodness of God when a young couple lose a baby. Or when the state police come to your door and say your teenager had an accident. He's in the morgue. It's one thing to praise God when your health is good. It's another thing when the doctor says you got cancer. And so James tells us here something that will be a blessing to you if you have ears to hear what he says here, because we're all going to go through these trials. That's what he's been telling us. There's testings of your faith that God allows in order to cause you to stand and to grow. And there's temptations that God allows the devil to bring that would cause you to stumble if you don't have victory in the Lord. So the goodness of God. I want you to read with me verse 16. Don't be deceived, my beloved brethren. Who's he talking to? He's talking to people who are going through some real struggles. They've been dispersed from their homes and their land, and they're without their country, and they don't know where the next food's going to come from. Don't be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good thing, every good gift comes. Every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variation or shifting of shadow. Father, thank you for your word that draws back the curtain of the circumstances and situations we find ourselves to reveal that there's still a sovereign God that's in control. That's why we can have comfort. That's why we can rejoice, because you're in control. And it's through those times that you bring glory to your name through our lives, and we're grateful for that. Teach us your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, the devil wants you to think negatively about God. He wants you to question the goodness of God when you go through these different situations. You know, I've been with you long enough. Mary Lou and I have gone through some stuff that causes real heartaches. And one guy said, how can you still give God glory when he's done that to you? Now you think about the ignorance that that statement is. When he's done that to you, like God did something to us that was really harmful to us. Are you still serving God when God did that to you? Listen, write it down. Don't forget it, that the devil is the author of all sorrow and suffering and pain and problem. It's the devil that gets the credit for those bad things in your life, not God. God is good. Mark it down, write it down, and keep it in your heart and your mind before the sorrow or the trial comes. We have sorrow as Christians because we live in a world that's cursed by sin. And it's the devil's desire to get you to doubt God. That's what he caused Adam and Eve to do. Did God really say this? So what we're reading right here in verse 17 is that every good thing, everything that's anyhow good is from God. Every good thing is from God. Every bad thing is from the devil. Every good thing is from God. Every bad thing is from the devil. Now, when the devil causes us to think of what's going on and how's God good in this, what James is saying, don't be deceived, my brethren. Who does the deceiving? The devil does. Revelation chapter 12, verse 9 says, Satan deceives the whole world. The devil is a master liar. He wants to deceive you. He wants to discourage you. He wants you to doubt God. And James is saying, don't fall for it. Don't be deceived. And then he gives us a few things that'll let us know why we can have confidence in God. And the first thing is, it's because of God's character. God's character is goodness. I think it's the next frame or so on the PowerPoint. It's hard for the person in a PowerPoint to keep up with me since I don't know where I'm going sometimes. So the character of God is goodness. We're talking about the attributes of God. That's a term that turns you off somewhat. Attributes of God are simply the truth about God that God has revealed in his word. We know they're true about God because God told us they're true. That's how you know who God is. That's how you know what God does. You know it by the word of God, by the revelation of God. You don't know it from your imagination or from some preacher. He didn't make it up. God has revealed these things. So I'm talking about, we know God is good because he's goodness. That's his essential nature. I could give you a lot of references, but only Psalm 119, verse 6 to 8, which says, you, God, are good. And what you do is good. All the time, God is good. God is good all the time. I don't know that because the Bible tells us that. That's where faith comes, hearing God's word and believing it, acting upon it, living by it. If that was enough, I'd give you one more verse, Mark chapter 10, verse 18. Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good except God. Jesus said, God is good. Don't you doubt it. I don't know what you're going through today. I know what some of you are going through. I know the devil will cause you to question God. If God is good, why am I going through this? That's what James says by revelation, by inspiration. This is what's going to happen in your life. You're going to go through these trials. Some of it's just because you lived in a sin-cursed world. Some of it is because the devil's going to send it to tempt you. Some God is going to allow to test you. Don't be deceived. When they told us our daughter had cancer in that emergency room at the hospital, we bowed our head and said, God, we're just going to trust you just like we always have because we know you're in control. The peace of God came into our lives. We have a sovereign God, and he's always good, the goodness of God. It's important that you know the characteristic, the attributes of God. I've been telling you, it's all right. I like to read those novels. They're inspiring. They're life-related, but there's another wall in the library. You ought to look at the attributes of God. Intersperse your reading with reading A.W. Tozer's Attributes of God, verse 1, volume 1 this year and volume 2 next year. It'll help to define your understanding. That's how you know God. So, all right. So, his revelation about himself are not theological abstract concepts. They are living, comforting realities. And woe be to you. You're going to go through trials if you don't know God. So, a church will only be as great as their concept of God. And a Christian will only be as strong in the time of trial as his understanding of God. Now, what do we mean when we talk about God is good? One reference here, Exodus chapter 34, I think that's on the screen someplace. When God revealed himself to Moses, it was in this verse, in these words, "And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, 'The Lord God, merciful, gracious, long-suffering, abounding in goodness.'" There's where you form your faith on who God is and what God does. You need to load up on that. Get your ammunition there, because you're going to come to a time where you're going to need to draw on that revelation that God gave of himself. So according to the scriptures, everything good in this world is from God. If it comes from God, it's good. Amen. If it's not good, it does not come from God. Amen. Because the devil's going to get you to question that. And people are going to tell you that. And your insurance policy is going to say that. It was an act of God. We're not responsible. A Christian didn't write that. The Bible says every good thing, every good gift, every, all-inclusive, absolute, everything that's good, we serve a good God. I like the new chorus we sing. We have a good, good Father. I think that's what it is. You taught me that. So I want you to notice in this verse, in verse 17, two words. You'd think we could get through it very quick, but we can't. Every good thing, that's a gift. Every gift and every perfect gift. Now, in the English word, that's gift. But in the Greek, it's two words. And there's a distinction here. The first gift, every good gift, that word's agathos. Agathos. Does that edify you when I tell you that? I tell you that to tell you this. Agathos means, it's speaking to the motivation of the gift. It's the reason why God gives the gift. God's intention is always good. That's what that word gift means. The reason why he gives you is he's a good God and it's always good. That's his intention. God loved you and gave his son. That's the illustration you'd use. Now, that's not true for me. My giving is not always good. I sometimes give with an ulterior motive. But God says his giving is always with the right motivation. So understand that. Whatever God gives you, it's good, even if it doesn't look good at the moment. So let's talk about that next word is of gift. That's dorema, which means complete. We could say it this way. When God gives you a good gift, you'll know it's good when it's finished, when it's complete. The reason why, when we go through a trial and we say, God, how can this be good? It's because we're looking at the individual ingredient. We're not looking at the completion of it. We don't know how it's going to complete. And so we're biting our fingernails. I do this all the time. I'll give you a simple illustration. It's about the cake, if you got that up there. So your young child comes into you, they've been playing outside, and they say, Mama, can we have a snack? She says, yeah, sure, you can. Sit down. I'll give you 2.5 cups of all-purpose flour. I'll give you 2 teaspoons of baking soda, 3 large eggs. I'll give you three-quarter cup of vegetable. I wrote this menu down, this recipe. How about a heaping tablespoon of baking soda? How about 1.5 cups of buttermilk? Oh, Mom, that sounds gross. We don't want that. She says, all right, I'll tell you what. How about you sit down, I'll give you each a piece of chocolate cake. Wow, yeah, that would be the ultimate snack, wouldn't it? Listen to me. Sometimes he gives you the cake, and sometimes he gives you the ingredient one by one. And you're sitting there chewing on that stuff. You say, God, if your gift is good, why? This is terrible. And then he takes that and he mixes it up and he adds some eggs and some vegetable oil and he whips it up. And so your life goes into a stirring process. And you say, God, if this is good, why am I going through this? Everything's out of control in my life. And then he heats up the oven and he stuffs you in that oven, 350 degrees. You say, God, if this is good, why am I going through all this? An old preacher was asked to say a prayer at his wife's funeral. And he said, oh, God, You know, I don't like flour. I don't like bacon fire. I don't like eggs. But I sure like biscuits. This is where we are. When we are in a situation of trial and it's tearing us apart, we're saying, God, is this good? And we start praying about where we are, and God's answering us where we're going. And we just have faith. We just have to have faith to believe Him. Where do we get faith? Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by. I hope you're reading God's Word every day, because He wants to build into you and get you prepared, because there's going to come some things that cause test. You're going to test your faith. Woe be unto you if you're not reading the Word. Sometimes God gives the cake. Sometimes God gives the ingredient, and you have to wait. That's why we can say Romans 8:28, we know that all things God causes to work together for good. Every ingredient He's allowing to come into our life, God's good. We just have patience. That's what that word means. Ultimately, when your gift is complete, He sends every good gift, and perfect means complete. When it's completed, sometimes it's not until we get the glory and look back. I can tell you, I've had a lot of funerals. Sometimes it's at a funeral that mom's prayer gets answered in her son who's been wayward. She didn't live to see it. And sometimes it's not until after she's been gone for a while. You know, realize when you pray a prayer, when you die, that doesn't mean your prayer stops. God still has your prayer request. He didn't answer it in your time schedule. And that's our problem all the time. We say, God, do something now. He said, I am. Just be patient. Do I have time? I heard about a centipede. This guy he was a bachelor, lived alone, it's lonely. His cat never talked back to him. So he went to the toy store or the animal store, and he said, I want to get an unusual gift. Unusual animal. I want something that can be a companion with me. He said, I got just a thing. He sold him a centipede. Well, he took it home and put him in a little matchbox, you know, dressed it up, decorated it, had a nice little house for him. And later on in the day, he said, I think I'll take him out for a taco. He said, hey, in there, would you like to go for a taco? He didn't get the answer. So he got his coat on. He went back and said, I'm going for a taco. Would you like to go? And he didn't get the answer. One last time he hollered at him. He says, are you in there? I'm going to go get a taco. Do you want to go? And there came back a little voice. He says, I'm going to go. I haven't got all my shoes on yet. Well, that woke somebody up. Anyway, sometimes it takes time. See, and God doesn't answer us immediately. Okay, so we know God is good. It's because His nature is such a being. You cannot separate Him from the goodness. That's what He is. And He's good all the time. And the next thing is because His character is changeless. His character is goodness. His character is changeless. If you catch this, it'll be like finding a gold mine. Look at the last part of that verse. I'll read the whole thing. Every good thing, every good gift, and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. If I were tonight, I'll announce that tonight I'm going to preach on the immutability of God, we'd have even less people that are going to be here because of the Super Bowl. Who wants to hear about the immutability of God? That sounds like a dry message. Oh, I saw one hand. Hallelujah. Okay. Well, I'm not going to preach on that tonight. But anyhow, I use that for illustration. Here's why this is important. This is inspired. James is talking about people that are in trouble and trials and temptations. I hope you hear this. We serve the Father of lights. That is, all of the light that's ever been created in the universe, all the illuminescence, the sun and the moon and the stars, God created all of it. God created it all. How many stars are there? Well, there's a lot of them. The scientists can't even tell you how many. They're still discovering. And you know what? Psalms 147 says he calls them all by name. He created them all. He knows them all by name. Last year before Christmas, there was an advertisement. If you'd like to name a star after one of your loved ones, send us so many dollars and we'll name it that. I said, too late. God already called it. Tell me what God's name is it. And so they were wrong. But the Father of lights, think of that. And he would be your heavenly Father. He knows all the stars. He knows your name. He knows your middle name. He knows your social security number and everything that's of that, of you. He knows all about it. He knows every hair or that you don't have hair. He calls the Father of lights. He's the one that gives light. But as bright as the moon is, sometimes it's eclipsed. It stands behind the sun or earth. Sometimes, no matter how bright the sun is, it's got a shadow in between. They have a changing. Everything about us is changing. God is unchanging. There's no variation, no change in God. Sometimes when I have a wedding and I see this beautiful, vibrant, healthy young couple, their skin doesn't have a flaw. They got all their hair. They don't have any false teeth. They don't, no bulges, bunions, no bifocals. They're just beautiful, vibrant. And you say, till death do we part. And I think, well, the test of that's going to come because Mother Nature and Father Time and gravity is going to take toll on each of them. They are going to change. They are not what they're going to be. 50 years from now. In fact, 10 years from now. When did seven-year age? 7 years from now, they're going to be different. And they're promising they're going to stay. Well, test of time will tell. But here we have God who's revealed as never changing. He does not change. We sing, great is thy faithfulness. Sing it. Oh God, my Father, there is no shadow of turning with thee. Passions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever shalt be. So if God ever was good, he always will be good. You got to hang on to that when you go through something that doesn't look good. Because he doesn't say everything appears to be good. He doesn't say you're going to feel good about everything. But he says you got to know that everything is good. Because God doesn't change. He's immutable, the theologians say. He doesn't change. Same God. Now we change. They tell us that every 7 years you got new cells. You're a new person. I wonder why don't I feel younger then. But anyway. Malachi 3:6. I am the Lord. I do not change. God is not evolving. He's not getting better. He's already perfect. He's not getting wiser. He already knows everything. He's not getting holier. He's already holy, 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 the three thrice holy name of God. He's not learning anything. He already knows everything. He's not taking notes on my message. He's already got the blanks filled in. He knows where I'm headed. Nothing happens in my life, and God says up there, wow, look at that, what happened there. I didn't know that. I didn't expect that was going to happen. Everything you're going through, God knows. Even if the devil sent it, our sovereign God allowed it. Because even in your trouble, he's going to bring glory through you to him. Do you believe that? This is the word of God. We don't live by feeling. We live by faith. I wouldn't last 15 seconds in my Christian life if I was going by what I thought appeared. Because a lot of times, I felt I was let down. Because his character is goodness, and because his character is changeless, we have communion. Because his salvation is doubtless. Read verse 18. In the exercise of his will, he gave us birth, brought us forth by the word of this tells us about the unimaginable. Man could not think up the way of salvation that God brought about. It's of His will. It doesn't come from any church. It's come from God, the way of salvation. By His own will, He brought us. He gave us birth. That's the new birth. So it's a miraculous way. This doesn't come out of the pew or out of the purple, the pastor or whatever. It comes out of God's will. He brought about a way of salvation we could not have imagined. He Himself took our place, took our sin, paid the penalty, invited us to come to Him. As we did, He caused us to be reborn. He came to live in us. And it's a sure salvation because God never changes. He said it, it's so. God is not a man that He should lie. What God says, He does. Hallelujah. So, when we come to communion, over the centuries and centuries of times that Christians have obeyed the Lord and observed communion, so very, very many of them come with a heavy heart of the life they're living or they're involved in because of situations and so on. But they come to the cross and they're reminded, God is good, and He does good. He's good, and He does not change. He paid the price for salvation that Calvary is established for eternity. He's good. Hallelujah. He's not done in my life. Oh, God, just help me to walk faithful for You and to You. That's what communion is. Jesus says, do this. You need to be reminded of Me. Father, thank You for Your word. Hallelujah. That You got everything in control. You've already taken care of everything. Calvary covers it all. We thank You for this time when we celebrate and rejoice in our good, gracious Heavenly Father. May You be glorified as we participate in this service of remembrance and celebration. In Jesus' name, amen.